Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Who in America thinks it's right that if Joe Biden was in trial right now beforehand, or that President Trump? And really, they've already looked at this issue how many times? And really, from the standpoint...
A lot of people passed on bringing those charges. That's why I said what I said.
Yeah, the feds already looked at it. Right. And who do they... think about it. Their number one witness has already proven to be a liar in the process. Cohen, the attorney.
We will see what happens when he testifies.
So everybody knows.
But
it goes back to one question.
Yeah.
Does anybody in America believe President Trump would be holding this trial now if he wasn't running for president? That's the number one issue. So even if you dislike President Trump, you should stand up for fairness in America and say this is wrong.
So the YouTube live chat poll for us today here on the Annie Fry Show is, will Trump be found guilty in the initial hush money trial? I threw the word initial in there because I don't want you to go into the comments and explain to me the appeal process. Which I'm really glad there is an appeal process, especially for the sake of Donald Trump, because it seems as though, in my mind, and I'm probably wrong to do this, and if you listen to Will Scharf on our show in the 12 o'clock hour, he said, I asked him this very first question off the top of our interview at about 12:15 or so. You can go in the Odyssey app and listen to that. I asked him if he thinks Trump would be found guilty, and he said no, he doesn't think he's going to be found not guilty. And he said that in any other 50-50 Biden-Trump district that he would be completely and totally exonerated on these issues. So Will Scharf, who is a Trump attorney, said that he does believe that he will be found not guilty here. And I have to check myself because I just assume he's going to be found guilty. There's a part of me that just assumes that George is going to go Democrat at 3 a.m. in the middle of the night. And it doesn't matter what happens beforehand. But I'm hoping that maybe justice prevails here. I guess there's still a hope and a chance that that could happen. So we need to know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Will Trump be found guilty in the initial hush money trial? That's the one that started today. What do you think, Ryan?
Since it's speculation, I'm gonna wildly speculate here.
Unless you actually know, then you should give us that.
I do not know. The closest I know is from listening to the 12 o'clock hour.
Okay,
and you're
so
talking
you know
to Will
what
Scharf.
I know.
Yes,
yeah.
But I'm gonna say there's gonna be one juror who looks at this whole thing and goes, "This is stupid. I'm not going to convict this guy." So I'm going to say no to this question.
Not,
he will not be found guilty.
Not be found guilty.
Yeah.
Bradley.
I am the opposite of Ryan, and I feel bad for going against Will Scharf because that means that I have less faith in the jurors than he does. And that means that I have a little bit less faith in Americans to see justice pass their own internal biases. I think they're going to look at this, and I think that they will say, I just don't like that guy, so I'm going to vote, and I'm going to convict him. And so I'm a yes on this. I think he will be convicted, but I don't think it'll be based on anything more than those people that are sitting in that juror box right now just don't like Donald Trump.
I screwed up. I should have asked Will Scharf, because there's 34 charges in this case. 34 felonies. They took one thing that they could find on him from pre-2016 election. They put it in a blender, and then they ate it, and then they pooped this out into 34 turds. I am sorry to use such unladylike language, but I think that it is worth it this time. And I the question that I should have asked Will, and I want you to text him this when he's done with Martha McCallum on Fox News.
Okay.
Ryan text him goes, the turd thing.
Ryan, yeah, we have this analogy. We think it's great. You should use it when you go on Martha McCallum's show.
We'll use this, show. Yeah.
And just say, that Mark Cox show in St. Louis told me to say this.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I want to know, is it if it's one, it's all? Do they figure out a way to parse it so he's guilty on one, but not guilty on 33? Let's text him in the break.
Well, from watching the Amber
Heard... you call
Heard,
back and ask him if he's free at 2:45?
From what I know about celebrity trials...
Yeah, please go to the Johnny Depp trial.
Johnny Depp trial, I think that you can be found guilty of some and not all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just from TV.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what
you,
this is.
You may want to ask her professionals. But definitely do suggest all the things that you were suggesting.
Just going back to the... Annie's description there, and it's like, so this
point, where was I wrong?
You weren't.
Thank you.
But I'm listening to the Johnny Depp trial, and I'm like, oh, so this case is a grumpy
turd. Yeah,
Amber,
it's a grumpy
White Eagle Ranger says Amber turd. Man, that's good.
Why don't you just send him this whole segment?
I'm gonna just ask you to delete it. Can you just hit the dump button for like 12 minutes of
I don't
dump.
Think I have that much dump.
We took a 12-minute dump on the Annie Fry show.
Dump. Yeah. It's fun to hit that button.
I don't know where I am. I was gonna be like, obviously he's gonna be found guilty. And then Will Scharf said, no, he's not gonna be found. And when Will Scharf was incredibly confident, mm-hmm, when he was talking about the election stuff in Colorado, he's like, no, this is totally not going anywhere. And I'm like, oh, come on, are you sure? He was right. He was like, the emphasis of the Supreme Court coming back the way that they did was 9-0. He said all that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was thinking, I think you're too confident. But he was right. He knew what he was talking about. So he was confident in the Supreme Court, met the challenge, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. I really want to know what you guys all think. And I need you to go vote on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and tell us. And you can leave some comments if you so choose. Question here. Parenting question and youth question. So Ryan and Brad, I need your unique individual thoughts on this. This was a post on Twitter, but I'm just going to say Amanda. I mean, she put it on Twitter, so I don't feel like if I say it out loud, like I'm airing her business, but I'm just going to say Amanda, and I'll retweet it right now so you can see it. My daughter is 7 and had a slumber party last night. We do not have phones or iPads, just computer games allowed for a set time a week. The friend had a phone and played Roblox the whole time. Didn't want to play dress up, school, anything make believe, etc. 1, should I enforce the same rules in my house? And 2, it's so sad that kids are addicted. They can't play pretend anymore. My friends and I would play, make elaborate plays, talk shows, dances, and more. I attribute so much of my creativity to this. Screen time, social pressure for kids is so real. I don't know that your kids, how many kids, your oldest are 9?
Yep.
What percentage of their peers have phones?
Very few that I know of. It
you
would be zero
there yet.
But there might be somebody out there, but I'm gonna say it's almost none.
I think under 10, it's a very unique situation.
Yeah.
And you're still in a position where if you have strict rules, it's much more understandable and your kid's not like the uncool one. 14-year-old boy, mm-mm.
Yeah.
My 11-year-old daughter, mm-mm.
Oh, really?
She's the only one who doesn't have a phone that is her own. Now, as I've said before, we've got 2 phones. I've upgraded twice my phones over the course of like 8 years or something like that. We have activated those phones. And for instance, today, my daughter is on a field trip. I let her take the phone because she's going to St. Louis. And I just thought it would be good to be able to contact her. But when they come home, the phones go on a shelf. They don't there's no sitting and internet surfing. There's no, it never, ever, ever goes to the bedrooms. It doesn't, they don't spend any time at home just sitting on their phones ever. Those phones sit on the shelf. If they want to check a message, they can go to the shelf and pick up the phone and see if there's like, what, 72 new messages in the last 5 minutes and the group text that's going on in their class, and they can read and respond if they so choose. They don't really get involved in that, and there is zero social media. So I'm very strict for my older two kids' ages, but I think that this is an interesting question. We have in our house a rule that you don't take, basically, it's not the phone, it's the internet. You don't take the internet into private places. It's not yours to have. Pay the internet bill, and then we can start talking. You're going to have to find your own device. That's the way our rule is. I have had, my kids have had people come over and spend the night, and they've had laptops to play video games or something like that. Maybe they have phones. And I haven't taken phones away from kids in the basement because I feel as though in a sleepover situation, that's a point of contact for the parents and they were young enough. But I did make one of the kids who spent the night who brought a laptop over to play video games. Like, totally understood why they were playing video games. And I think they stayed up till 3 a.m. and I was upstairs and I knew they were still playing video games. When it was time to turn stuff off, I made them bring the computer upstairs. Is that psycho?
No.
Not at all. In fact, I think almost the opposite is true. It's almost psycho to not have any oversight over it at all, which is the default way that most people go. You have to know what's coming into your house, and the internet is a major open door to the worst things possible coming into your house. So you have to have ground rules, and you have to stick by those no matter who's in your house too, especially a bunch of kids.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it's psycho at all. I think that those kids, your kids, have the rest of their lives to be on devices and whatnot. And, you know, I think that they deserve the opportunity, be it through force or whatnot, to not have those devices. So whenever I listen to the story of this little kid that is at this sleepover, not be able to function without a phone and playing Roblox when their friends are right there, like, it sounds to me like that little kid didn't even want to be there. What's the point of going to a sleepover if you're not going to hang out with your friends?
And, well, but they think that that's how they hang out with friends. That's what social is. I mean, I feel bad for these kids who have been socialized via devices and social media. Like, it's what they know. They get really uncomfortable when they're around peers in person. My experience, though, my husband, it kind of depends on the team we're coaching right now, but it was 6 years ago, 7 years ago, we were coaching girls basketball, and some of those girls would have, they'd be eighth graders. Some of them would have phones. They a lot of them had phones, but I mean, yeah, we would go out as a team. If we were in a tournament somewhere else, we would go out as a team for dinner, get pizza or whatever. And my husband and none of the parents had any problem with this. So it kind of, you got to make sure that you're not upsetting parents, so to speak, but he would go, everybody would sit down. The kids would all get excited. They're all hanging out together, but they're all on their phones. And he would just go one by one over their shoulder, take all their phones away and get a tray from the waitress and put all the phones like on top of the napkin holder in the parents' table. So all the phones were there. And then we would just all sit and watch them figure out how to talk to each other.
That's great.
It took 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they were the loudest people in the restaurant. And I mean, like, actual social contact, talking to each other, laughing, joking, having a good time. But they all freaked out when they lost their phones. No, you can't do that, Mr. Fry. You can't blah, 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 blah. And with the parents' permission, he's like, I absolutely can. And I did. So you want to spend the next hour in this restaurant staring at your empty palms? Knock yourself out. And the kids snap back. Like, you go into being a kid almost immediately. I want that for my kids so much, but it does become very difficult when you are competing with a society that doesn't prioritize those things anymore.
Yeah, we're going to have to cross this bridge pretty soon.
Yes, you are on the porch.
Yeah, we are. We just went to a soccer tournament a couple weekends ago, and of course, all the nine-year-old boys, well, we'd go out to a restaurant with some of the other families, you know, and one kid would have a phone or even a couple. Well, all the other kids, including mine, who don't get to watch stuff all the time, man, they're just crowded around that kid.
Oh, yeah.
This is the opportunity for me to watch whatever. It's usually just some game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like can we all just agree that if we go out to a bowling alley or a restaurant or something, like, make the kids talk, but it takes one kid, and then everybody's just, that's it.
And that's what this post is talking about. Like, if we have a sleepover and we're and the one kid is on the Roblox or doing the video games or whatever in your own home, can you say, nope, you're not going to do that? This is going to come as a shock to people. Support saying that.
What?
When we come back, though, I'm going to take it another step further. And this is something that we've talked about this in, I don't think we've talked about it in confusing terms, but I'm going to read you an example, word for word, of a post that I came across that really takes this to where parents have no idea what is at the other end of those devices. We're going to discuss that when we come back. So hold on. We'll have a sensitive conversation here in just a minute.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We were talking in the last break about a woman who posted on Twitter, and she was saying that her kids had a sleepover, and one of the kids who went to the sleepover was on the phone the entire time. And she's not a phone household. She was wondering, can I enforce the rule that I have for my kids on other kids when they are spending the night at my house? I just retweeted it at Annie Fry Show if you want to read it or respond to her directly. I also came across, I'm a member of a Facebook group, and it's all about being a parent in this technological world. And there are, I think, tens of thousands of people in this Facebook group, but people are posting every day. And many of the things that they're posting are the same. It's just a new person. Same stuff happens to a new family. And a lot. The nice thing about this that I appreciate about it is that you can post on this Facebook group anonymously, so you can get specific about things that you're experiencing, and you're not outing yourself or exposing your kids, but you are able to source with other parents your experience, find out if other people have dealt with the same thing, so on and so forth. I'm going to read this. I'm going to read it verbatim. And I want to talk about this because I think when we talk about phones and keeping them from kids and so on and so forth, it's like you are usually talking around something. But I think we should talk straight at it. This is what this anonymous member posted. We are heartbroken and ashamed and devastated. We found inappropriate content in our 10-year-old's iPad. We have not monitored it until now. It is our fault and our fault alone. But now what? We've blocked YouTube and several other apps. But how do we explain all of this to her? How do we fix what is broken? We feel like complete failures. We just want to make it right. So you have parents of a 10-year-old girl who have just found pornography on their child's iPad. This is really the, what would you say, elephant in the room that most people are talking about when you are looking to monitor social media in the hands of children, the internet in the hands of children. Even if you are monitoring it, if you're trying to be on it as much as you can, like be on the monitoring of the situation as much as you possibly can, you cannot uncrack that egg. And I think that the actual exposure, the average age of the actual exposure of that is maybe less than 10.
Yeah. Last I heard it was 9.
I don't understand how people are willing to risk it. It's such a big risk. And if you want to talk about protecting the innocence of children, You can't. That is the biggest game changer. That is the thing that, you know, if you're going to, let's say you have the news on in your house, you are going to see things on the news. We watch the news all day, every day in here. But you're going to see violence on the news. You're going to see people hating people on the news. You're going to see a lot of things that are on the nightly news that are very innocence shattering for children. But pornography is beyond that. And you can't undo it. You can't unsee it. You have to have conversations about that as soon as it happens. And you have to, of course, do it in an age-appropriate way. But I don't understand. I'm willing to say this. And Brad and Ryan, I want you to correct me where I'm wrong. I'm willing to suggest that if your child has unsupervised access to a cell phone ever around other children, that they've seen pornography.
I certainly hope not, but
if your child has a device and they have had that device around other children who have their devices unsupervised, that they've seen some kind of pornography.
It's hard to say that that's not true, because all I have is hope that it's not true, but that's the danger you're dealing with. I mean, what you're saying is probably more common than not, even if it's not 100% of the time. And you have to, as a parent, be willing to be the unpopular one, the bad guy. I wrote down two reasons when you were just talking just now. Why aren't parents willing to step into those situations? Because, like you said, it is such a danger. It is so prevalent and so easy to get. And in fact, not even easy to get. Like, they try to get the kids.
It's hard to avoid.
It's hard to avoid, yeah. Mm-hmm. So why aren't parents willing to step in and recognize the risk? Because I think most people are going to acknowledge that that is definitely a major risk. I don't think there's any argument about that. The first is just absentee parents. They just don't care enough to pay attention. They find it easier to give their kids a device than to monitor anything, let alone the amount of monitoring that you have to do, which is pretty much everything. The second is parents who do monitor, but they're just, whether it's because of social pressure or that's just the way they've always done things because that's the environment that they've grown up in, they're just not willing to say no enough, because you have to say no so much as
a parent. Over and over and over and over and over again. And like, we tried to wear our parents down as kids, and we didn't even have access. We could have dreamt of the things that our children have access to.
Yes. Yeah. And so you have to be willing to be loving enough to say no, mm-hmm. because that's ultimately what you're doing. You won't be loved in the moment, but you will be loved beyond that moment in a much deeper way if you're willing to, because the kid knows that you care. When you tell them no, the kid knows that they care, or that you care. And we have gotten so far away from that. We've as a culture, do not teach that really anything is wrong, that even saying something is wrong is kind of like taboo. But you have to be willing to do it. You got to know where your boundaries are, and you have to enforce those boundaries all the time. You can't have cracks in the facade either.
I'll tell you what, we've been talking about this as a risk. It is not a risk. It is a foregone conclusion that if your child has a phone or has access to the internet, unfettered access to the internet, they will encounter pornography.
Doesn't even have to be them seeking it out, but they will be around people who have, it becomes an addiction for adults. For a child, oh my gosh, they don't even know what to do with it. But the fact that it will get to them, I'm saying guaranteed.
I'll tell you what, I work with kids in the youth group. I've spoken with kids about issues that they've had from, you know, very young ages, and they're not seeking it out. They stumble across it. It is so prevalent on the internet, and it's just out there. I've had, when I was driving a school bus, I've had kids go, "Oh, Mr. Range, blah, 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 is looking at booty pics." And they have their cell phone. And this kid is in maybe fourth grade.
That was a while ago.
Yeah. But my thing is this. It is a foregone conclusion. if you love your child, if you want to shield your child from this for as long as you possibly can, then you need to be able to tell them no. You need to be able to let them know that, hey, there are some things out there that you may not even go looking for that will find you, and I need to shield you from that. You know, and we're talking about pornography, but that's just it. There's predators out there. There's people out there that are seeking your children, and they pose as girls their age. They pose as friends. They pose as whatever. And they talk these kids into doing stuff that you wouldn't even imagine. You'd be like, no, my kid wouldn't do that. Listen to me. Yes, your kid would. I cannot tell you how many times I've counseled with parents and talked to them, and they say, my kid wouldn't do that. Yes, they would. Have that in your mind. Yes, they would.
They don't know not to.
Right.
I don't want to minimize the threat of the predators, because that is a major, major threat, and it needs to be acknowledged and watched for. I just feel, and maybe this is just my household and maybe the people we run with, that is more like top of mind. The pornography thing is not one you think about as much. And so I'm glad that we were talking about that too, because that is so prevalent and it asks nothing of you. It's just there for you to consume.
Well, and the thing about it is too, that is in areas that you would never expect it to be. I think I've talked about this on the air before, but there was a way that people were using a Bible app to share mm-hmm. pornographic yep. images. Yep. You know, the Bible app. And this is what they're doing. It is so prevalent. And like I said earlier, it's not a high risk. It is a foregone conclusion. When you give your child a phone, it's not if, it's when they will come across it. And the question is how long do you want to protect your child's innocence, and how much innocence do they need to have that, or how long do they need to have that innocence? And I think as long as you can maintain that is the right way of going about it.
There are over 200 comments on this post of this 10-year-old. We're talking about a 10-year-old girl. And every day I read through these comments, and I use this group as a way to communicate to my kids. I can do it. I mean, I've said this before. My son's 14. My daughter is 11. My 14-year-old son and my 11-year-old daughter are about the same maturity level. So they can handle those conversations. But I say to them, like, look at what happened here. Look at what's out there. And the predator thing. The amount of people who get on Discord is a huge one. Do you use Discord at all?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
For gaming?
It's the chat, voice chat we use for gaming.
So it's a traditional thing that people use. I mean, like all of these things, the Bible app, there are very good and righteous applications for the systems that are in place that then get taken advantage of and used for nefarious reasons in other places. And like any, of course, where's the predator going to go? Where the kids are. Mm-hmm. They don't put out their predator sign and wait and see who's interested. They go where the kids are and they prey upon those kids. But I mean, it's daily that I will see people post about, oh, my kid, is Discord used with Roblox or is that separate?
You can use it.
I think that's something but Roblox, I've heard a lot of problems with that as well. Because you could just talk with people.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, there will be a phone number that will be requested by the predator to the kid. And these kids are 10. They may be younger. And the phone number is provided. What's your home address? The home address is provided. I mean, these parents are like posting on here. I mean, that's how helpless and hopeless they feel in that moment, that they're going to a Facebook group posting anonymously saying, oh, my gosh, I am in immediate need of advice on how to handle this situation. Questions and concerns about pictures that their children have taken of themselves and sent these people who are posing to be different people than they actually are of their children. And they're worried about going to law enforcement because their children took pictures of themselves because they were enticed to take pictures of themselves and send those photographs over the internet. And they're worried about going to law enforcement because they're worried about what it means for their child to have transmitted that file from their phone to another. This is just like, drain the blood out of all of my body, frightening, stomach-turning stuff that I don't think we have any idea how prevalent it is because people don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm glad that we talk, because we do have these conversations every so often, and we need to continue, because every single time we talk about it, it's a reminder to me personally that I need to be taking it more seriously, let alone anybody who's listening. But it's also that the things are changing so fast. you know, we talk about this every other month, maybe, but 2 months ago, your strategy for dealing with it might be a little different now than it was then.
Because now kids are using the Bible app.
Exactly.
And then the next time they're using a calculator app that has a secret place where you can go communicate on the side. And it's not, folks, newsflash, an actual calculator that people use.
But the creative solutions like that you're doing, we're getting there. And my wife is a teacher. Your husband's a teacher. Your wife's a teacher. Mm-hmm. They deal with students. So they're going to be a little bit more in the know, which is great for us to have these conversations. But you got to be creative and get ahead of those situations. Like you're talking about, Annie, with your kids putting the phone up. Okay, yeah, you can use it. You can still communicate with your friends, but then you got to put it here so that I can monitor it. Like, that's a creative solution to a modern problem.
My husband and I modified our hell no policy of cell phones because my son, it was like a year ago or so, he was kind of bumming around the house, and you could tell it was one of those things where he wasn't moping because we told him he had to clean his room or whatever. Mm. Not that he would ever do that. Clean his room. He would never clean his room. Just
gotcha.
Kidding. Sorry, Charlie. You could tell he was bumming about something, and we sat him down and we said, what's going on? Talk to us. Tell us. Maybe we can make it better for you. And he didn't want to do it because he knows how stubborn and vocal I am about just, we're not doing the phone thing. I know that you really want it. I get that you really want it. If I were you, I would 100% want the same thing. But no. And he explained, he's like, it was a group that he was in, a social group that he was in. He's like, all the kids there, they all communicate throughout the course of the season through their phones, and I'm not on them. So I'm not in the chats. I go, do you feel like they're excluding you? He's like, no, they weren't being mean to him at all. They all liked him just as much as they liked each other, but he just was left out because he wasn't let in. And we said to my son, like, listen, we are doing this for the first time with you. You're the oldest. We don't know what we're doing. We are absolutely erring on the side of caution, but we do understand what you're saying. And that's what moved us into the, we're going to permit you to use a phone for communication. We're going to give you more leash to use that phone, to be in the group chats where you can go check the phone in a group chat. But guess what? We can check the group chat anytime we want to as well. But we are going to give you the privilege of being able to utilize that phone in a way that allows you to be part of the conversation. Because when I was a kid, we sat on the phone for hours. I had a good friend, his birthday's today, who I would sit on the phone for hours. And I don't even know what we talked about at the time, but there also was no internet. We were bored. Mm-hmm. And you would be like simultaneously bored on a corded phone that was in the kitchen that wrapped around into the closest room that you'd try to close the door on. And yeah, mom and dad could pick up the other line at any time and listen in. So there was some privilege there, but there was also some understanding that while you were having what might feel like a private conversation, it doesn't have to be at any given time if mom and dad choose to step in. And you weren't having it in a so private location. You were tethered literally to the most common area in the home. So we said, we're going to let you do this. And just know that it's a privilege. If you take advantage of this, if you ever abuse this, if you ever swipe this and try to use it in a way that we haven't permitted, you can always ask to do whatever. And we can always say yes or no. But if you try to take advantage of this, it's all gone. Because that's on you. And it's worked pretty well. My biggest encouragement to parents who are dealing with the phone question, which is an internet question, it's not a phone question, it's an internet question, is live in the world of permits, not limits. Because when you limit the usage of the phone, it implies that the kid has a right to an amount of time that you are limiting. So it's kind of like you are the negative effect on the usage of that phone. You're the one who's setting the cutoff time. That's not the way it works. That phone, that access to the phone is a privilege. It's my phone, and I will permit you to use it for whatever is deemed in your household to be the appropriate amount of time. And when I'm giving you the phone as opposed to taking it from you, that is a huge difference in perspective that I do think if you establish that with the kid, becomes a more positive way to look at it. It's like positive reinforcement, like you've earned this here, I'm permitting you to have this. And it doesn't set the false narrative that phone belongs to the child, because it doesn't. Nothing in my house belongs to my child unless they somehow or another earn the money and paid for it themselves. They're permitted to use everything, including the roof that is over their head and the bed that they sleep in, because we love them and it's of good use to them. My son is even, I shouldn't have said him specifically, but he's lost the right to have the door on his room before. And that was really highly effective.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have to constant, like, these kids want the structure. Here's the whole internet. And then the influence of what their peers are saying to them, that is the complete and total absence of structure. Those kids cannot possibly be expected to handle the pressures of that. And I would say that adults who look at the internet like it's an unrestricted frontier, they have problems with it too. Why in the world would we expect our kids to be able to handle that? And I will also say to you, if you're somebody who has experienced the confrontation of what this post on Facebook that I said, this 10-year-old girl who they found inappropriate things on her iPad, the curiosity that that child might have had is a human curiosity. And loving that child in that moment is the most important thing. The fact that they would have been curious in that moment is not something that we need to condemn them for. We have to shepherd them into a good understanding of what is good and what is bad about it. And that is really hard to do when they're 9 and 10. It's hard enough to do when they're 13 and 14. But it's really hard to do when they're 9 and 10, which is why I implore you to just keep it away from them. Protect their innocence as much as possible, because the world is a predator out there to get to your children. Relentlessly. I promise you. Let's take a quick break. I want to read some of your comments that have come in on the YouTube chat on this conversation and also the YouTube live chat poll. Will Trump be found guilty in the initial hush money trial? We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. As Ryan just mentioned, the YouTube live chat poll for today, will Trump be found guilty in the initial hush money trial? Vicky said yes, they're going to stop at nothing to get a conviction. Gary said, I have to vote yes, but I'm praying that there is at least one person with a conscience who will say not guilty. Rick said, no, not if there's any real justice in the system, but that's a big if. And Carlos said, I voted no. The law is on his side. To be found guilty would mean that the law has no meaning. So I'm just keeping hope that the law will prevail. So we need to know what you think. Real quick, we'll go around the room here. Brad, your vote?
I'm a yes. And I'm sad that I have to say that.
You think he's going to be found guilty?
Yeah.
And I am a no. I'm going to hang my hopes on one juror. Just hope for the best.
I'm going to say, no, I don't think he's going to be found guilty. And I just decided to do that in the last 2 minutes. And I'm just doing it because Will Scharf told us that at the beginning of the show.
Me too, kind of.
If you missed it, we had a really interesting conversation with Will Scharf, who is one of the Donald Trump attorneys, will be participating in the Supreme Court arguments taking place Thursday about the presidential immunity. Is it better? We don't have much time here, but is it better for Donald Trump to be doing what he's doing right now than just willy-nilly campaigning?
In general, you know, there's the poll out there that says if he's convicted of something, it's going to hurt him. Other than that, I would say this all plays well for a guy who is a multi-millionaire former president. How in the world could you possibly make this guy a victim but do this? You have made him the sympathetic voice in the 2024 election.
Yeah, I think that there is a benefit to him the way this is playing out right now, because I think that it forces him to be with the people. The only place he can go whenever he knows he has to be in New York for a trial is out amongst the people, like at that bodega thing. And I think that's a net win for him.
Huge. That's a huge net win for him. I think what I keep hearing people say after Donald Trump speaks, when he comes out and stands, you know, with the microphones there in the court hallway or whatever it is, people have all said that he's really stayed on message, that the idea that he is in these trials because it goes all the way to the top to Joe Biden. I mean, you cannot come and convince me that what they are putting Donald Trump through, especially in this trial, is like to protect America
right
from a criminal.
They can't even take themselves seriously when they say that.
The YouTube live chat poll for today, will Trump be found guilty in the initial hush money trial? 62% of you say yes. I hope you're wrong. I hope Will Scharf is right. check out the Annie Fry Show podcast and listen to his conversation with us. You can watch it on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. He joined us on Zoom as well. The Mark Reardon Show with all of the news of the afternoon.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.